I'm Steve Potter, and coming up on Cityscape, wildlife photographer Florian Schultz. His images have been the subject of exhibits at venues across the country, and he often lectures on photography and conservation issues in America and in Europe. But first, Sound Bites, our monthly feature in partnership with Sauce Magazine. And today, how restaurants can help revitalize struggling neighborhoods, in this case, the neighborhood of Botanical Heights. Ben Peremba is the co-owner and chef of Olio Wine Bar, Elia Restaurant, and Chouquette. Brent Crittenden is principal of the architectural and development firm Urban Improvement Company, UIC, and Ligaya Figueres is the senior staff writer for Sauce Magazine, and we welcome you all to the program.
Thank you for having us.
Thank you.
Ligaya, our topic today deals with how restaurants can revitalize neighborhoods, and I would have thought that a neighborhood would have to be trendy before a restaurant, which is a risky venture, would open there, but no?
I guess not necessarily, not when you have the types of people who are opening these kinds of places. You know?
Mm-hmm. Ben, briefly describe your three restaurants for us, would you?
Sure. So Olio is situated in an old 1937 gas station. It is a wine bar, so it features primarily wines and small plates. Elia is adjacent to it in an old house. It's a fine dining room serving Mediterranean food. And then Chouquette is right across the street. That is a patisserie. It's a French pastry shop.
So they're all on Tower Grove Avenue. So they're almost next door to one another? Is that,
yes.
Would that be right?
Yes.
Hmm. Brent Crittenden, what role does your firm play in developing neighborhoods like this?
Well, this is our first large-scale development, but we're both an architecture firm, a general contractor, and a property developer. In this particular neighborhood, we're doing about 8 city blocks of development, which includes new homes, a new home for City Garden Montessori Charter School, Ben's restaurants, and eventually some multifamily housing as well.
Mm-hmm. So is this sort of a new concept or not?
I think the angle we're taking with it is new to St. Louis. Green features kind of abound in the neighborhood. Almost every project, whether the single-family homes or the school building or lead registered projects. So a concentration on green and trying to really work within the existing context and not just start over.
I have a friend that lives in that neighborhood, and I went there for the first time recently. It's a great house. By the way. But let's talk about that area in Botanical Heights. Now, it used to be McCree Town, I guess is what they called it. It's north of the Botanical Garden on the other side of Highway 44. So what was the state of that area before redevelopment began?
Well, we're actually the second phase of development. The McBride & Sons Homes, in partnership with the Missouri Botanical Garden and the Garden District Commission, did a first phase of about 6 blocks of homes, which completely cleared those 6 blocks and built new. Our project is immediately adjacent to that, the same neighborhood, about 6 blocks again. But when we started working on the neighborhood in 2006 and we actually moved into the neighborhood, I would estimate the population to be about 30% of the available density, whether the buildings were abandoned or the lots were abandoned. So we had a neighborhood that was, frankly, just unoccupied.
It was a troubled area.
Exactly.
I guess, right?
Well, I mean, right now you drive through and there's 3 restaurants right on one corner. And, you know, not that long ago, there's nothing there. There was no reason to really stop at all. I mean, you would just drive right on through Tower Grove Avenue to get to Shaw neighborhood. But what the beauty is now, just even a couple weeks ago when Ben's newest place, Chouquette, opened, there's cars parked right at that corner. You're going to have to stand in line, which is exciting.
Well, Ben, what about the question I posed to Ligaya at the very beginning? I thought, you know, if you're going to invest, it's an expensive venture to open a restaurant and risky, as you well know. So I would think before you open one, you'd pick a trendy area that's already got some life going to it. Why would you do this?
I drank Brent's Kool-Aid. No, I mean, I think it's risky, but I think it would be more rewarding to make it happen there and, frankly, a little more affordable. Mm-hmm. The building themselves, the gas station, is sort of a standout, and it's a very unique building. And so, you know, in my mind, it wasn't that far away from very steady and very, well-gentrified neighborhoods.
Yeah.
It's very easy to get to. So I weighed the cons and pros and
you did it anyway.
I did it anyway.
But I think there's a lot of reasons why Ben, we're very optimistic at Sauce Magazine about all of Ben's projects and that these are going to be very successful. And while Ben was able to secure a location that maybe, you know, in terms of affordability and within the city, which makes a lot of people nearby very happy, I think there's really three key things about what Ben is doing. One, he's got, apart from himself, you know, two of the main people that he's working with are very talented and known in the industry. They have highly original concepts. They're extremely focused. And lastly, he's got them grouped together, which is a very successful business model. We can point to other chefs in town who have done the same thing by approximating their restaurants.
Right. So the restaurants are located in Botanical Heights. Obviously, you're expecting to draw from outside the neighborhood. How important is neighborhood business to you?
Very important. And really, we already see that at least the wine bar and the pastry, we're just a week old, the majority of people who come in are from the neighborhood or from the neighborhood close by. So a lot of people from Shaw neighborhood, a lot of people from the Central West End. So it is not so much a destination as it is much of a neighborhood-oriented place. But I want to go back to what Lagasse said earlier. You know, it's a risky endeavor, but we understood early on that sort of density of business and bringing in the best people in to partner would draw a lot of attention. So instead of opening just one restaurant, I decided to open, you know, a restaurant and a wine bar right next to each other and then do another place. And we brought in my general manager and the sommelier, Andrei Ivanov, to run the wine and beverage program. This is a seriously talented guy. We brought in Simon Four as the pastry chef, the primary operator of Chouquette. She's from the Ritz-Carlton previously. So that's key, to make sure that we have the right people that have their own following and do things that are excellent in every way possible.
I want to ask you about your menu in more detail in just a moment. But Brent, as a developer, was it important to have three different businesses, three different restaurants that complement one another as opposed to just one? Is that an important element?
I think it is. The density certainly helps. Ben's sort of the gift that keeps on giving for our neighborhood. He's been an advocate for us from the very beginning, and we're very fortunate to have him, to have somebody that had that vision, and to not only take on the risk to do one establishment, but to do all three uh-huh. in the same place. It's made a big difference.
Lagasse, can you cite other examples of areas where restaurants helped in redevelopment? The one that jumps to mind originally is who everybody knows is like Joe Edwards in the Loop, right?
Absolutely, Joe Edwards in the Loop, and that's in the 1970s.
Because the Loop was really nothing until he opened Blueberry Hill.
You are correct, and now look at it.
Right.
It's really exciting. I mean, that is prime real estate for any restaurant. Looking now, I would say, I think that two great examples are Cherokee Street and the Carondelet neighborhood in South City. And Cherokee Street, not just west of Jefferson, but also east of Jefferson. I mean, when I think about Antique Row, you know, a long time ago, maybe I would go looking around for antiques, and there really wasn't a place that I wanted to eat at or you know, have coffee at. And now there's, you know, Mud House is there. Whisk, there's a bakery that moved in. The Table is coming to the old stable space this summer. And then when you jump west, yeah, it was Mexican restaurants and it still is Mexican restaurants, but now we've got a few more bars that have come in there. And when you think about Carondelet neighborhood, just very recently, we've got Perennial Artisan Ales, Davis Street Market Deli, Melt on Ivory, and then Shameless Southside Grill just opened. And that's all in this little pocket around Michigan Avenue, Ivory, and Davis Street down in Carondelet. So that's really exciting. But so when you do see these the restaurants that are pushing for, you know, this community building, I think it's fabulous.
Well, Ben, would you identify your three places again and give us examples of menu items or signature items from each one?
Sure. So Olio, the wine bar, features heavily Salumi Bedu meats, cured meats, which is a company which I co-own as well. Elia is an ever-changing menu. We change the menu nightly on the fine dining side. Tonight, for example, we'll have confit of sweetbreads with maitake mushrooms. Mm. And then Chouquette features the Chouquette, which is a cream puff that's baked with a cookie dough right on top of it for the extra crust, and it's filled with pastry cream.
What's your review of those places?
Okay, yeah. Well, Chouquette, I mean, that it's so fun. I have to say, we are going to have the biggest hips at the office because I know that we've been there for like, it's only been open a week and we've already been three mornings. So the Chouquette, you can fill those with either chocolate hazelnut right now or else the Tahitian vanilla. And you, my verdict says, you know, go for the chocolate hazelnut. Those are wonderful. I do want to point out that one of the really big things that Simone is doing over there, when we talk about authentic French pastry, this is authentic. You haven't seen anything like this in St. Louis. And Simone gave us a taste of what she could do when she worked at the Ritz-Carlton in Clayton. And, you know, she left that position as the executive pastry chef there to do this. But what she does is, I mean, a highlight is this meringue-based confection that is called macaron. I'm sorry for my French, please. Not to be confused with the macaroon that many of us know as, you know, coconut. Uh-huh. But it's like these two meringue cookies that then get sandwiched with this filling. They're extremely difficult to make. And it's a showcase there right when you walk in. It looks as if it's they're in a jewelry, this like glass jewelry box. It's gorgeous. And everything that she does is in that same very high, elegant, elevated manner.
That's LaGaya Figueres from Sauce Magazine. We're also talking to restaurant owner Ben Perimba and with Brent Crittenden from Urban Improvement Company. This is St. Louis Public Radio, 90.7 KWMU. And Brent, in addition to the restaurants, are there other keys to developing a neighborhood like this? Any other kind of businesses or schools or anything that need to be there?
Yes, certainly. We wanted to take as holistic an approach as possible. So actually one of the first developments we did in the neighborhood or kicked off was the new building for City Garden Montessori Charter School, which will provide a long-term home for one of the state's top-performing elementary schools. They moved in August of 2012, so this will be their first year there. In addition to the restaurants, we've been fortunate enough to have a handful of businesses come to the neighborhood, and we have 14 new homeowners on our new and renovated homes. We'll eventually have 50 homeowners in the neighborhood in the next couple of years and open up some more multifamily opportunities. In addition to that, we really see Tower Grove as an opportunity to be somewhat of a center for locally produced food. So we'd like to build on what Ben has already established there, hopefully in the future, add more restaurants, but then also hopefully add some local producers as well.
Ben, how long have you been in St. Louis? Where are you originally from, and what's your history here?
So I've been here for almost, I set foot in St. Louis 17 years ago. I left several times and managed my way back. I'm from Israel originally. Mm-hmm. I grew up there and was raised there. I came here and went to school, have a degree in philosophy, and then went right into food service.
So does philosophy help you in food service? And
absolutely.
How? I think I know the answer. But.
it doesn't. But
did it take you a long time to come up with the concepts for your trio?
Well, I think it's been a chewing process. I don't know that I thought specifically that I would do Olio and Elia, although I have collected a lot of furniture and antiques and plates and things of that nature. But I think it's a combination of a lot of different experiences.
So. Well, let me ask Brent and LaGaya from an outsider's point of view. Describe the ambiance at these three places.
I'm going first because I get blown away. Olio is so fun to go and walk inside. I mean, it's like, you know, 1930s Art Deco gas station rehab. There's an industrial feel, but they've done such a great job in retaining some of the old features. Like there's the garage bay door has remained. And so you get some beautiful light in there.
Yeah.
So that's a wonderful, fabulous touch. And then, like Ben said, I mean, he collects all of this stuff, right? But it is so elegant. It's a very artful space, the restaurant side is. And you know, you're eating in a renovated home. And so there is a feeling of in a house, and it's very comfortable and inviting, but it's intimate too. You only have like 30 spaces, right?
Yeah.
So, and then Chouquette, the design on that, as I understand it, Simone was inspired by a famous pastry shop called La Durée. And now they're all over the world, but initially that was in Paris. And it is, you know, bedecked to the T, kind of, you know, very frou-frou fancy, like just...
Well, but it does still have some sort of rustic elements.
True.
Old church pews and beautiful mirrors and things of that nature.
And
but
even,
very,
even
very
the,
fine.
The staff's aprons is wonderful. Very French.
Very French.
Yeah, we're very proud of the main building that actually houses Ally. It was a Standard Oil station built in the 1930s, and renovation that took literally pulling it apart brick by brick and rebuilding it. Ben was really – we're fortunate that he saw the vision of that up front, and I think it turned out great. But in terms of the ambience, the thing I really enjoy about all the restaurants is there's sort of an ad hoc nature that fits with the aesthetic of with the feel of the space. But then there's an attention to detail that's really remarkable. So it's that combination of really precision in the food and in the menu compared to the ad hoc nature of the feel of the space.
That's Brett Crittenden from Urban Improvement Company and Ben Peremba, a restaurant owner. We wish you continued success at your three new restaurants, and I look forward to checking those out, definitely.
Absolutely, thank you.
And LaGaia Figueres, thank you for being here from Sauce Magazine. We'll look forward to you next month, or someone from Sauce next month.
Absolutely.
On Soundbites.
Thank you very much.
Thank you all again.
Thank you.
Next on Cityscape, award-winning wildlife photographer Florian Schultz. This is St. Louis Public Radio.